And welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted Dawson Brower Show. We're waiting for Austin to get situated here.
I'm here.
Bring you the latest world news and health research on a Friday, no less.
It's Friday. Cut me slack. It's been a long week.
Oh, it's been a long week.
It's been a good week. Been a long week. Hope you guys have been enjoying the shows. A lot of wild topics we've been talking about.
Well, our audience has proved one thing.
What is that?
They can use the new website.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
By the way, hope you guys have been enjoying the sale, and thank you all. You know, I told you with the HGH Stimulate Scratch and Dent sale, I think there were a couple more left on there, a couple extra ones we found in the back this morning. Ruben had texted me up, so I added a couple, I think like 8 or 9 inventory on there. So there's like 8 or 9, and it'll click off. So you guys missed the sale. Be sure to grab them on sale for the 35% off. Just put the coupon code SCRATCH in. So now we're updated. Once these are done for the weekend. It'll be off by this afternoon. But what's interesting is, you know, we still have the old site for everybody that still wants to use the dinosaur site.
The dinosaur site.
That site is phasing out. I'm letting you know.
The 30-year-old site.
Probably about 30 days, that site is going to transition to this site, meaning healthmasters.com and Team Healthmasters are going to go straight here every time. The old site will no longer exist because, quite frankly, it makes no sense to keep it going.
We can't keep it updated.
It can't keep it updated. It's not cost effective. And the new site is so much better. And you get the subscriptions. And you get the automatic VIP shipping you can put on here for $19. Along with all the different sales specials that we can adapt to and do stuff like this every single week. Or we have something going on for you guys. And we have the points. So you're getting reward points every time you spend dollars. Everything about Team Health Masters and the new site is where it's at. But both domains are going to point here in about 30 days. So if you still use the old site, I'm letting you know. Just get ready to transition to the new one because it is coming very soon. So I only did this HGH scratch and dent sale on the new site. It was not even on the old site. And ironically, the old site just went. Nobody placed any orders on anything last 2 days. They all used the new site. So for all you guys that are transitioning over, just transition over. Get your points. You're making money. I mean, you're literally getting discounts on products by buying products. So check it out. Enjoy it. The big product of the week, the rebuilding formula, the one and only.
Oh, great product.
I just got more of it in. I was down to like 2 cases on this stuff. I think 1 case. It's supposed to be in today. Supposed to be in because they just shipped it out for me. It's had a huge shipment coming in of it. So that's on sale right now. Be sure to grab it. If we have any delays, we might have a few delays next week. But if you get them in now, we should be able to fill everything. By Monday or Tuesday, we should have more inventory coming in. But a lot of stuff's going to go out today to get caught up. So other than that, that's some homework for you guys to work on over the weekend. And also,
I've got one thing to say, though.
I've got one thing to say, too. What do you have to say?
We had a problem with the purple sticks as far as the manufacturing of the new
ones. Whoa. I don't want to let I don't want to put all that out there yet. We got to figure out what we're going to do with it.
All right.
We
still have them in inventory.
We got them in inventory, yeah. We'll talk about that later.
All right.
We're having a little delays on some stuff, but I'll keep you updated on that situation later on next week. I got to get some stuff with my supplier over the weekend and figure out what's going on with it. But, yes, we're going to be getting more. I know a lot of people are frustrated because the case slot's off the website right now. It's because inventory is getting really, really low. But we'll make sure everybody's taken care of, and I'll keep you guys updated next week. Also, too, though, there's a article that we transferred over. Harrison just wrote it. It said, Detox Made Simple, the Science Behind NAC and Liver Support.
That's a great product.
Really good article that he wrote for me on here. I just posted it. This is the kit that we have with the NAC and the liver support, basically the detox kit. And a great article if you're wanting to maintain healthy liver, healthy kidneys, detox your body, clean your system out. Really cost-effective, really simple. This kit's amazing. And so we have it on the website and a great article that Harrison wrote on it. Other than that,
brilliant writer.
Yeah, he's incredible.
Oh, Jimmy Kimmel has been suspended indefinitely after pushing the Charlie Kirk propaganda. Is the propaganda? It should read Jimmy Kimmel suspended indefinitely after mentioning the Jeffrey Epstein files on a live broadcast.
That's exactly right. We covered it yesterday. If you guys didn't hear that show, everybody's been talking about it. Not a single person has referenced the fact that at the end of that segment, he blasted the Epstein files on his show.
We did.
Everybody's saying, well, it's censorship because he talked about Kirk or the president. That's not why they pulled him off.
Well, now Trump's coming in there saying that he has no talent. He has this. And you know,
that's the theater, though, right?
No.
But
for some reason, you know, Trump, you know, has to always be the bully.
Well, one thing that I've known, and sometimes it's funny, but sometimes it gets really old. I don't know why he always has to resort to high school criticism and put downs. It's always kind of where it goes. Like we're 10th grade and we're going to go back and forth.
And the reason that people do that, number one, he was trained to do that.
Yeah.
All right. He's basically an actor. He was on TV for many, many seasons.
That is true. A lot of people do forget that.
You know, and he was trained to do that. And also remember, the average American reads at the third grade, fourth grade level.
Yeah.
Now, that's not you guys. You guys are brilliant, all right? But the average American nowadays really can't even read very well whatsoever.
You're right.
And so I remember when I was teaching college.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, I'm the college professor, and I was told, you got to ratchet it down. And I'm like, what do you mean down? He goes, they don't understand what you're saying. Okay? So we had one of my daughters had a boyfriend, and he basically got through, you know, college and or through high school, and he couldn't read. I mean, he was functionally illiterate. And nice guy, really nice guy. And finally, you know, he would never really talk to me. And I asked my daughter, I said, why won't he talk to me? And she said, he doesn't understand you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I'm not talking about how caffeine inhibits the acetylcholine reabsorption in the synaptic cleft. I'm not talking about that with him. I'm talking about, you know, Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. And she goes, it doesn't matter, Dad. He doesn't understand you. And I'm like, oh. And I thought she was kind of joking. So he came in the house, and they had broken up, and they got back together again. And I started talking to him, and I said, you know, I broke things down real quietly. I've talked real slowly. And we finally had a conversation. Now, she's no longer with the guy. But the point is, you know, I had to really break it down. Well, if the average American is dealing, you know, with a reduced IQ from fluoride, if the average America is dealing with a reduced ability to think because of all the drugs they take, if the average American basically is doing this and they're operating at a third to fourth grade level, basically that's grade school, and that's where the bullies ran rampant. That's when, you know, you'd be in fourth grade and there's a kid in the, you know, with you that's failed twice, and, you know, you're like 8, 9 years old. He's like 11, 12, 13, and he's running around picking on all the little kids. Well, in that mindset, you know, the bully attitude works because the little kids are being forced into submission because you're picking on them. And, you know, and then sooner,
there's nothing you can physically do at that age point, that age bracket.
No, I remember one time I had a kid sucker punch me. He's like 3, 4 years older than me. And, you know, I was a little kid.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do, you know. And, you know, because, you know, it was much, much larger than me. Well, about 8 years later, you know, I just, you know, won the Mr. Tallahassee contest, and I wasn't a little boy anymore. And he showed up at my mom's property. I shouldn't even tell you this story.
This is a funny story, though. It's funny. You got to tell it. It's funny.
And his name was Ronnie. And he was down at the lake fishing without permission. And I walked down there, and I looked like, you know, I just won Mr. Tallahassee. I was 50 inch chest, 18 inch arms.
Yes, yeah. This is paper skin, veins everywhere.
No, I looked like something off a movie set.
Yeah.
And I walked down there, and I saw Ronnie in the lake fishing, and I told him, I said, you know, you sucker punched me about 8 years ago.
Never forgot it.
He looked at me. He goes, oh, I was just joking around. I said, it wasn't a joke to me.
I wasn't.
I was just fooling around. I'm here to play for blood. Tombstone,
baby.
But I looked at him, and I said, well, I explained to him I needed to leave. Then I explained to him what I was going to do if he didn't leave.
He still thought you guys were in school together.
He still thought we were like buddies, right? And so then I started walking towards him, and he ran out into the lake. And he was terrified. And I said, just let me catch you for a second.
Yeah.
He ran around. He was much quicker than me, and he's on a bicycle. And he runs up to the, he gets out of the water, runs like the doggone wind, grabs the bicycle, doesn't even try to get on it. He's basically pushing it as fast as he can, running. And I thought, okay, this is really not fun anymore. This is awful now. I feel sorry for him. Well, not really. I thought, well, I feel vindicated.
There's no sport in this.
So what ended up happening is when you understand that the bully mentality is such that, you know, it's in grade school and you have to constantly call people names, at that point in time, it starts making more sense why they do it. In fact, Trump now saying that the far left scum, Ilhan Omar, should be impeached, claims that she married her brother for citizenship. Well, that's probably true. But he has to, well, it's,
I mean, I that's
no,
one,
she did. She
yeah,
did.
And that's why I can't really knock him on that. That's pretty.
But
pretty
he's calling her scum.
And the problem is, I don't disagree with his statement. The problem is, he's in a presidential seat.
It's like using the F word all the time, man. Let me say something. Jim Rohn said something a long time ago. Jim was a friend of mine. He said that bad language doesn't offend anybody.
Good language doesn't offend anybody.
No. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm not awake yet. I should have had my purple sticker.
Good language doesn't offend anybody.
And bad language will offend a certain percentage of the audience. And that's why I try not to use bad language on the show. Austin tries not to. Every once in a while, I slip and I say something. I don't really use a lot of bad language. But every once in a while, I hate to tell you guys, I don't have a halo to adjust.
We're not perfect.
We're not perfect.
We're from Florida.
Yeah, we're a bunch
cut
of
some slack.
We're a bunch of highly educated rednecks with a transmitter. And so what ends up happening is every once in a while, you kind of slip up. But the reality is, do you always have to call people names? Do you always have to call them scum? Right. Do you have to always say they don't have any talent? Do you always have to belittle people? And the answer is no. You don't have to do that, especially if you're sitting in the most powerful seat in the world.
I completely agree with him calling her out for very shady behavior
She
did.
Yeah,
I agree with that. But like you said, resorting to name calling, it doesn't make you look educated at all.
No.
That's one of the things that I really respected about Charlie Kirk, is in all those debates, most of the time when you saw him, he never resorted to trying to belittle people and throw them down and spit on them. I mean this metaphorically, basically call them names and bully them. He would just rebuttal them with facts.
Well, he did what the Bible said. You know, you can be angry, but sin not.
Correct.
You know, and he would sit there and reason with people.
Yeah.
And that was what made him so powerful.
And that's what scared everybody in the deep state and in the mainstream media.
Because he was converting college kids back to Christianity.
He was. I've talked to university individuals now, and they've told me every time he came to school, one guy emailed me this. He said everybody acted different after he left. And he said there was almost like a level of like calmness. The university just felt more chill
and respect
after he was there for the weekend. Everybody should chill, but just kind of just calm down a little bit. Some people were mad. He still had the lunatics. There's always lunatics. There's always the individuals that are in some cities. And Jesus says, dust your feet off. Just you're not going to talk to them. You're not going to convert them. You're not going to be able to reason with them. They're just lunatics.
Take the dust off your feet and walk away.
So there's always going to be those in every area. Like we talked about the 25%. You know, 25% of the people will always love you. 25% of the people will love you but can learn to hate you. 25% of the people will always
That was from Joel Olstein.
Yeah,
Olstein. Okay, let's do it again. Let's start over again. I got to make sure. I got to keep it in order.
Yeah, you got me messed up. Good language.
Oh, yeah. And Joel Olstein said this. He said this. He was right. He said, if you have 100 people in a room, he said 25 people in that room are going to hate you no matter what you say. There's nothing you can do.
They're going to hate you all the time.
You know, I don't like his tie.
Yeah.
You know, he's not wearing the right shoes.
I don't like his haircut. I don't like his shirt.
You know, he didn't shave this morning. Okay? Which I didn't, by the way. So 25% of the people are going to hate you. Then 25% of the people are going to hate you, the next 25%, but they can be taught to love you if you give them enough stuff.
Yep.
But you got to constantly give them stuff.
Yeah.
And if you don't give them stuff, they're not going to like you anymore. Okay? Those are terrible friends, by the way. And then 25% are going to basically love you, but they can be taught to hate you, right? And then it's going to be the 25%, no matter what you do, whether you shave or not, okay, whether you do anything, they're going to love you no matter what. And that's what you guys are. And it goes even to another notch down. It goes down at 3%ers.
Yeah.
The ones who watch the show and support Health Masters. And thank you for that. And so the thing I've learned about this is it doesn't make any difference what you do. You have to cater to the 25% that loves you no matter what. Otherwise, you're always trying to make people happy. And I got Trump's attitude on that. Well, I'm just going to have my 25%ers. I'll do what I want to do, and I'll act the way I want to act. Well, that's all right. I got that. But, you know, you got to act a little presidential every once in a while.
Exactly, you do.
You know, I mean, he is the most powerful leader in the world. Now, a lot of his events are being orchestrated based upon the international banking cartels.
As far as on a platform, though, it's the biggest there is in the world.
It is.
As far as a seat.
I remember I was watching that one movie with Michael Douglas that one time. I forgot the name of it. It was a chick flick. I got forced into watching one night with Sharon. And I remember he was basically the president and his wife had died. And he wanted to go out with this girl. And the girl goes, well, I don't want to date him. And her friend says to him, don't you think you got your standards set a little bit too high? He's the most powerful man in the world. He's a great dancer. He's great looking. And you don't want to go out with him. This is kind of ridiculous. Where do you have your standards set? And it's the same thing. When you have that level of power, that level, that position of authority, you just have to do the best you possibly can. And that doesn't mean saying F all the time. And it's sure that, of course, a lot of New Yorkers do that anyhow. It's just the language up there is awful. But you know, it's so funny to me how that word has become part of the normal vernacular for so many people.
Yeah, for unfortunately.
No, it's unfortunate. It's just because a lot of people, I mean, I'm talking ladies, well, I don't know if they're ladies or not, but women and men who basically, you know, just, that's just common language now.
Every sentence, every word, everything.
No, yeah. you know, it's kind of awful, actually, because, I mean, I wasn't raised to use that kind of language, and I know that women certainly weren't back when they would have been. And now people go, well, you're being a misogynistic pig. You say men can cuss. No, I'm saying nobody should cuss. A lot of times it's just the example of a limited vocabulary.
That's true.
Okay. And then I remember I heard this one speaker one time on the platform. He's using filthy language. He got fired, by the way. And he said, well, I do it as an exclamation point to make people listen to me. And I have their shock value. And if I told you his name, you'd know who he was. He's a big, tall dude. But and he's written a bunch of best-selling books. But the reality is it got him fired off the platform. They terminated him. But the sad part about all of this stuff is that, you know, do you really have to use bad language? We did a whole series on Maximum Success on, you know, on personal development and what it means.
Especially when you're in a big, open, public setting, you're speaking to large groups or you're on national television.
Okay, I'll give you my 60-second synopsis. I walk out onto a platform and there's 40,000 people in attendance, and I've done this. I was a keynote speaker. I walk out on the platform, there's 40,000 people in attendance, and it's a stadium. Okay, I walk out there, and I basically start cussing.
Yeah.
About 30% of the population in that stadium are going to get up and walk out, or they're going to completely stop doing what they're doing, or they're going to get on their
iPhones. Especially start using God's name in vain.
Yeah, they're going to get mad. Yeah. They're not going to listen. So I just whacked out 30% of my audience. Well, then I can walk in out there, instead of being dressed in a coat and tie, dressed nice, I can walk in a pair of flip-flops, a tank top, and, you know, a pair of shorts. Well, now another 50%. So I walk out in a pair of shorts and a tank top, cussing. All right, and then next step is I come out there 10 minutes late, making everybody wait. So now I'm late in a pair of shorts and I'm cussing.
You just lost almost all your.
I just lost almost the whole audience, and so they're not thinking. Well, he didn't take this thing seriously. He didn't show up on time. See, so the thing that we have to do as far as if we want to affect as many people in a positive way, we have to eliminate a lot of the things that cut out the audience.
Very true. So
in other words, if you have 40,000 people in there and now all of a sudden, you know, 39,000 people get up and walk out, you just cut your audience way down. And the people have a potential to hear a message they may have needed to hear. So that's why we try to keep it as clean as we can. And plus, the Bible also says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Only that is edifying and uplifting to build those around you. And I'm paraphrasing that. But the point is this. Always try to do the best you possibly can at everything that we do. None of us are perfect. You know, we all are saved by grace through faith. Nobody can be perfect, period. It doesn't work that way, not on this planet. But anyhow, I'm going to stop now. By the way, the soprano star Dree DiMatteo is now posing in body paint to spur the chemtrails conspiracy. Not a conspiracy, by the way. She's had enough. Now, another one did that, too. Anne Hecht. Anne Hecht started doing things.
She started talking about the chemtrails, too.
She started talking about the chemtrails. Suddenly, she found herself dead. And, you know, so you got to be real careful with these people when they have a name they can use in order to promote a certain agenda. You know, Robert De Niro tried to do that with autism and vaccines. And boy, they snapped him tight quick.
Yeah, that was the interesting part about him is he's got a very liberal, left-leaning attitude about a lot of stuff, and I don't agree with a lot of stuff he did. He had some good movies. Like Heat was great. Gunfight scene, that was amazing at the end of it. But he brought up the topic of vaccines, and it was like, Jim Carrey did it.
Done.
Just don't. You're dropping it, or you're done. They pretty much give them that ultimatum because you see them. They'll put time, energy, research, money into getting it out there. And all of a sudden, they either push it and you never hear about them on
well,
movies ever
look,
again.
You know, you look at Joan Rivers.
Yeah.
Oh, everybody knows the bombing's gay and Michelle's a tranny. She's a transgender. Everybody knows. It's okay. You know, 6-8 weeks later, she's dead.
She wasn't in comedy character. She was walking into her house. Mm-hmm. She'd been gone on a trip officiating a gay wedding.
Yeah.
She wasn't kidding.
No.
She's straight faced when she said it. She doubled down on it.
Well, the problem was they knew they couldn't control her mouth.
No. Well, she'd gotten so big.
And no.
And a lot of stuff, she was funny a lot of times. She's kind of crude with a lot of stuff, but everybody liked her.
Yeah, well, so in other words, when you push it too hard and you got a real big name in the mainstream, they got to take your character out of context. They got to get rid of you. In other words, your character has to be written out of the script.
Yeah.
And if that means killing you, it means killing you. If it means destroying your name, it means destroying the name. But what it means is that you're not getting any more Hollywood contracts.
They'll assassinate you in public.
Or you're going to be sitting there talking to a bunch of students and somebody shoots you.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, if you basically get too big and they can't control you, they've got to say something to you, or they've got to take you out, or they have to retire you, or they have to basically put you in a honeypot situation in which they can then control you. Or they have to get
back
you out
to Epstein.
No, yeah. So
well, that's why Candace Owens, I mean, everybody's been talking about it. Apparently, she's upped her security detail now with everywhere she goes for good reason, because she's pretty much picked up Charlie Kirk's mic and doubled down on everything now that's going on, and which I commend immensely for what she's doing, because she's obviously putting her life out there. I mean, that was one of her best friends. She's on the show with him and everything else, and she's pushing hard now. And so this is another topic I wanted to cover, because the last 3 days, excuse me, the last 2 days, there's one more day of it. The CDC advisors are voting on current vaccines. And this is interesting right now, because I've been kind of keeping updated. There hasn't been much going on until today. The ACIP, which is part of the voting group, they're talking about voting that the MMR vaccine is not even available till children are age 4 years old.
Instead of 18 months.
Now, granted, I'm not a fan of the MMR, so don't try to quote me or cut a snippet out of this and post it. However, in my opinion, there's a big, big difference with delayed vaccinations that some people do and early vaccinations when it comes to cognitive problems and a lot of health issues, because the brain, the body, and the immune system is much more developed at 4 than it is in 18 months. Again, I'm not telling you to get shots. That's not my venue. None of my kids have gotten this shot, but it's the parent's choice. But them talking about now, they're saying that essentially the two-day meeting agenda includes discussions of changing the childhood vaccine shot schedule. They said they're voted now to not recommend for children under 4 for the MMRV, passed by vote 7-4. Malone abstained. He said he had no conflicts of interest, but he previously agreed not to vote on the MMR vaccine because of his participation on expert witness in the whistleblower lawsuit against Merck. Confusion expressed by some of the members who said they were not provided with the full text of what they're asked to vote for. The vote to approve the provision to change eligible groups of MMR vaccines, children aged from 4 to 12, was rejected. So I'm going to do more research into this. All this stuff is just coming out overnight, update in the morning. They're convening at 8:30 a.m. apparently today. And so this is interesting. If they do that, I think there's going to be a massive decrease in a lot of the side effects you're going to see, because quite frankly, 6 months is... I mean, I don't even agree with any shots, but 6 months is insane for the MMR.
Well, the body,
measles, mumps, rubella,
well,
6 months.
Well, the thing about it is, Austin, and we've talked about this before on the show, you know, a child can't really produce antibodies until he's 24 months old.
Yeah. The immune system.
So the immune system doesn't do that.
Very, very weak.
It's very weak. And so when you start injecting this stuff, all it does is create a massive, massive inflammation response. That's why so many of these, you hear the encephalitic scream.
Right.
The kids start screaming, and they arch their back, and their brain's swelling.
And you
got to
understand this from a natural standpoint. And this is the part that frustrates me so much, that a lot of people fail to realize from a physiology standpoint. You know, if a child naturally gets exposed to measles, right? Okay, mm-hmm. They're exposed to measles. It can be bad. There's some children that have died from it, but most of
very
them
very rare.
How often is it that a child is going to get exposed to measles, mumps, and rubella all at the same time? The statistical probability of that is probably 1 in a trillion. I mean, I've never heard of a case with all three of them at the same time. So you're taking shots from dead viruses, three different ones, and you're putting them with adjuvants and aluminum and polysorbate 80, and you're injecting them right into the bloodstream, which is another way. You never get exposed to measles via direct injection, hypodermic needle, ever. Much less all three viruses all at the same time via injection. And so you're taking in a massive hit to the body, and the immune system isn't developed. It does not know how to handle that. It's 6 months. You don't know what to do.
You know, I remember Sharon was, she didn't like two of my friends, your mom.
Yeah.
And I mean, and funny thing about Sharon was, if she didn't like somebody, she didn't like him.
No, she didn't.
And, she used to always say, I'm not a phony. And I'm like, I got it. We all know you're not a phony. And I remember many years ago, about 20 years ago, we had a friend of ours. They had two daughters. They're since divorced. And they basically had gotten a bunch of information from me about vaccines. And I remember we ended up going to dinner one night with them. And this my friend, the guy, he basically told me that he had a cousin who was a chemist. And he had told how important it was to get the MMR shot. Right? And I said, well, you really don't want to do that. And I pleaded with him not to. And I remember we went to dinner with them after the daughter had the shot the day before, and she couldn't even sit up.
Yep.
She was limp. And she was like, you know, it was unbelievable, the responses she had had. And he was, and the man was laughing about it. I thought it was funny that she was so sick. Now you think, gosh, Ted, really? I can't make stuff up like that. It's horrible to even think about. And I remember Sharon got so mad at this guy. And to this day, the girl has a slight touch of autism from that. And then what happened? They get the other girl the shot, the other set. Then she ended up hospitalized, you know, with brain swelling. Can't make it up. And then they finally thought, we're not going to do more shots. And I thought to myself, you know, why does it take that Why does it take that for you to decide not to do any more shots? Why do you have to have two children damaged to make sure that you don't do shots anymore? The other daughter had to be hospitalized. And the sad part about all of this, when you stop and you think about it and you look at it, you think you have to ask yourself a question. You know, where am I going to draw the line? Where am I going to put the line of the sand? And I remember from the time that happened to the time that Sharon passed away three years ago, she didn't even want this guy in her house, in the house here. I mean, she was still mad, angry, because she said, I can't believe he treated his daughter like that. And quite frankly, I understand her point. It's not funny. And so of these people who do this to their kids, it's mind-boggling to me when they know the truth and they hear, well, and that one guy that said that one time, he said, well, if my son comes down with autism, it's God's will. And I thought, my God, he just blasphemed. I said, God, have mercy on him. I was so angry when he said that. I had to go to the house and lay down on the couch. Also remembers this. I had to calm myself down because I couldn't believe this kid that I helped raise was that stupid that he would say something like that, because that's providentialism. But it just makes me mad, Austin, when I see it. So I am so happy now that they're doing this. But look at this.
This is at birth to 2 months to 6 months right here. This is just in the first few months of this child's life. Look at what they give them. The rotavirus, the RSV virus, the Hep B at the beginning, DTaP, diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis. I mean, is your baby really going to have a large exposure to tetanus and pertussis at 2 months old?
Better not.
Golly, what kind of parent are you? I mean, this is insanity.
And no, they can't run outside and, and step on a nail.
Can't move.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I know.
It's insanity, dude.
Here's the problem that you have. These people that are the scientists that are so brainwashed by mainstream medicine and by how many vaccines a child should have, they never stop and look at the forest for the trees. They only see the entire picture. Well, you've got to be willing to sacrifice a few kids here and there to get herd immunity.
For the greater good.
No, and that's what they do. And they get so brainwashed by it that they simply can't do it. I've got a friend of mine who's got a doctorate from Harvard. Took the MMR vaccine. Her husband took the MMR vaccine. End up, not MMR, the COVID vaccine. They took the COVID vaccine. He ended up having aortic dissection, almost died. Okay? And then she's got all kinds of mental problems now because it's shutting down the brain power. And all of a sudden, all this horrible stuff's going on. But I'm going to get my COVID shot. And I'm like, please don't do that. Please. Oh, you don't understand. I've got my PhD from Harvard. And I'm like, I don't really care where you got your PhD from. You know, what does that mean? PhD piled higher and deeper? I mean, with what, right? I have no idea. But the point is, you don't need to be doing this. It didn't make a bit of difference. Still took the shot. You guys like that? The piled higher and deeper. That's an old one. By the way, here's an American Thinker article. It's by Robert Smith. It says, it's deeper than mental illness. Here we go. This is programming. Maybe you spent last week perusing the X postings related to Charlie Kirk's assassination. Aside from the many accolades and conservative influencers did fine jobs identifying left-wingers who not only celebrated Kirk's assassination but referred to attaboys to Tyler Robinson, the trigger man. I don't believe that. Some even call for more violence. If you didn't have time earlier, scroll through the libs of TikToks and the Vigilant Fox threads for starters, and you'll get an eyeful. Somebody had to do it. It wasn't an uncommon refrain. Who this side of hell delights in the act of murder? You know, you got to remember what he just said. Who on this side of hell? It's out of hell this whole stuff comes from.
Yeah.
It's from the evil one. He delights in this. You know, he's squealing with glee when he sees stuff like this. This makes the evil one really, really happy when this stuff happens. So he had a good point there. There's no point in rehashing Kurt's qualities or listing his achievements. Others who knew him have provided rich, poignant testimony to his stellar character and unshakable dedication to his faith and freedom. His very public record is testament enough. If you sift through the haters' postings, you'll think they inhabit an alternative universe. They do.
Yeah.
It's with Lucifer and the gang. Abundant public record be damned for them. Kurt was an ogre, some mythical beast. He checked off every box that inflames the leftist mind. Homophobe, transphobe, this probe, that probe. They fictionalized Kurt. Damn reality, too. Are the celebratory outpourings over an innocent man's murder indicative of our sickness in our society?
Yes.
Yes, they are. The sickness starts with an obsession, the obsession with self. This is Lucifer again. If it feels good, do it. That's where we are right now, isn't it? What was a 1960s mantra that came from the CIA, by the way, and has sparked decades-long deep dive into hedonism, regardless of the blarney about self-actualization. The me generation ethos metastasized, spreading throughout society. Gosh, I'm going to read that again. If it feels good, do it, was the 1960s mantra and it was, that has sparked, this is what Playboy magazine and all the rest got so big pushing that porn, sparked a decades-long deep dive into hedonism, or pleasures of the self, regardless of the blarney about self-actualization, which you do have to be self-actualized, according to Maslow, as far as understanding who and where you are, but you don't have to practice hedonism. The me generation ethos metastasized, spread like a cancer, spreading throughout the society. What does preoccupation with self do with the person's mind and emotions? How does it affect relating to others? This is exactly what's happened with a lot of the preachers that are the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it group. They become completely absorbed with self. It's not about the church. It's not about giving anymore. It's about you give me money and you'll be blessed. You give me money, I'll buy another mansion. You give me money, I'll buy another jet. They really get like that. I know a few of them. What does preoccupation with self do with a person's mind and emotions? How does it affect relating to others? How does it warp perception? What happens when academics have, which they have for decades, peddled the notion that there's no external or objective truth? Should we be stunned that people, mostly females, popped up on TikTok and Blue Sky, giggling, praising, toasting, jiggling in reaction to a cold-blooded murder?
Party poppers.
Shades of the Manson girls, huh? Perhaps females have been more greatly damaged by a half century being battered with me, 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 or are they just inclined to be more visible? The counterculture, which arose in the 1960s, has been a pox ever since. It's indulgence of trash dorms, shredded traditions, slammed faith in the mean family. The destruction was justified, we were told. We had to tear down to build. We had to stamp out injustice and equality to achieve both. This is Lucifer's teaching, by the way. But the building never started. That would be put too many academics, activists, talking heads, and politicians out of business. You really don't want what the left would build anyway. This is one of the best articles I've ever read. And it's written very easily, and it's very easy to read. And I'm going to stop for 1 second. I'm going to make somebody mad here for a second. When you get on TikTok, or you get, my daughter did this one time. She was like 15 years old, and she got on TikTok. She posted something. She had like 4.5 million views within a day. You remember that?
Yeah, it went viral. It was big.
And all it was her morphing into something else. It was something silly. It was nothing bad, but it was that. And I told her, and she was saying, I've got all these fans, and all these people love me. I said, they don't know who you are. They're complete and total strangers. I made her delete her account.
They just hit a like button, bro.
That's all. Well, the problem with it is that she started thinking she was all this and all that.
It
started messing with her head. And what I've learned is this. Those are dopamine triggers. Mm-hmm. I got 4.5 million people who think I'm all this. Well, you know, life's not gone the way she's wanted it to go. But, you know, the reality is she thought it would. And so you have dopamine burnout. You constantly get triggered. All these people who love me, who don't know me. The problem with that is, well, on a woman's brain, and a guy's brain too, it's not just one sex. You start getting dopamine triggers that burn you out. In other words, you have to have a higher amount of dopamine triggered in order to get the same feeling over and over and over again. So then it doesn't matter. The guy that you date can never be rich enough. He can never give you I'm getting a lot of people mad right now, but I don't give a blankety blank anymore about this. The show's already gone there. All of a sudden, you can't. All of a sudden, it's Friday. The guy can't give you enough stuff. Girl goes up to her date, second time they've gone out, and says, will you buy me a G-Wagon or a Lamborghini Urus? And the guy goes, I don't even know you, and I'm not even dating you, and I'm, you know, and I don't really know what the heck you want, but I don't want to be with you right now. You're nuts. And you go, you mean you're not going to buy me a Urus? No, I'm taking you back to your car, and this date's over with. You're a nutbag. It's what happens. You get more and more. And so the guy can never.
And this is primarily contributed to social media.
No, it is.
It is.
You can never be rich enough. You can never be good looking enough. You can never be young enough. You can never be giving enough. You can never do anything enough because they have constantly gotten more and more and more dopamine triggers. So they're burned out. They are completely and totally, brains are torched. And all of a sudden now, no matter what the guy does, the guy's not going to be good enough. Right. No matter what. And the same thing happens with the guys. They go into, I'm going to go here. They go in and they still want to start watching their pornography crap. You know, just total filth. And all of a sudden, the girl's stunningly beautiful. She's photoshopped. You know, it's a big photo shoot. And he thinks, oh, my girlfriend doesn't look like this. She should look like this. I need to find somebody else online. And I've watched it happen over and over and over and over again because Lucifer does this. He puts out right in front of you like the donkey with the carrot in front of his nose. He can't reach the carrot. It makes him pull the cart. So he doesn't know what to do. He always does that to torment you and to tease you and to make you want more than what you've already got. That's why the Bible says, be content with what you have and where you are. Don't allow yourself to get into that trigger phase, because once you get there, it's almost impossible to come back. You always have to have more, 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 more. Well, my boyfriend was giving me $50,000 a month, which is a total lie, but they'll say stuff like that. Because they're trying to trigger, trying to trigger, trying to trigger. And they get a lifestyle that they can't sustain. And suddenly they break up with a rich guy. Now listen to me. They break up with a rich guy. Suddenly, now they don't even have a car anymore. They can't make the car payment anymore. They certainly can't make their house payment anymore. And suddenly it's, well, what's wrong with society? Society hasn't done what it's supposed to do for me. Because look at me. I'm on TikTok. And all of a sudden you say, whoa. This lady that was basically protesting the chemtrails, the one who had been on TV on The Sopranos that I've just mentioned a few minutes ago, she said the reason she's been doing what she's been doing because she was stone cold broke. You know, and so when you spend all your money, if you, or you go into credit card debt to impress people you don't know with money you don't have, what ends up happening is you get into a situation where suddenly it's like, oh, how did I get like this? I've lost my car. They weren't joking. They said they're taking my car. Now they've taken my car. And see, this is what happens all the time with Lucifer, because he is the liar. Also, has read this many times out of the book of John. All he does is lie and wants you to do this, to do this, to do this, to do this, to push that a little further down the road, a little further down the road. Well, you got to have that right there. If you do this right here, keep doing this and doing this. And you keep fighting and trying to do it when you don't realize that God's going to give you everything you want through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to have the righteous peace and joy through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to have peace and contentment. You're not going to need mushrooms. You're not going to need drugs. You're not going to need LSD. You're not going to need alcohol. You're not going to have drugs in your mind and your body all the time in order to make you still feel normal. And this is what happens with women. It happens with guys too. It's both of sexes. They burn themselves out trying to achieve something that's unattainable for most people. It really is. I mean, who gives somebody $50,000 a month? You got to be brain dead to be doing that. But the problem is, people think they're going to get all that. Well, Austin,
and what I wanted to interject with this, and this is something, this is why I have been so adamant. Give me this camera. This is why I've been so adamant and intense about protecting young children.
There you
what happens
go.
Is
there
the
you
younger
go.
These kids get exposed to stuff on social media, the longer it starts to train their brain. So when you start having 14, 15, 16-year-old girls and boys, and they start having open-ended social media access 24/7, anytime they want, on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, whatever, they watch all this fake crap. Most of it's all fake. Instagram's not a real place. It doesn't exist. You know, I mean, there are literally studio sets now all over the country, numerous ones in Florida, with jet fuselages in them. And Lamborghini rental cars. And people will go to them and pay money to take videos, photos, and actually have entire video shots done of them walking into a jet on a tarmac and sitting in a fuselage and sitting in cars with, you know, a diamond AP and all this crazy stuff on the wrist. And they go, oh, yeah, look at me, look at me, look at me. And 99% of it, it's all fake. It's all fake. And what happens is these young kids don't realize, A, it's fake. B, the people that actually achieve that stuff, it usually takes decades in order to get to that level of hardcore discipline in business. You look at the guys that are worth $100+ million, they're not 21 years old in most cases. You may have a couple of these little TikTok clowns or some of these, you know, basically Bitcoin boys that blew up on a rarity. And most of them don't live and don't have what they act like they actually have. I met a guy years ago. I was involved in some crypto stuff, and that's why I don't recommend it anymore. And he was talking about how he had all this stuff in his wallet. His crypto wallet. He shows a big crypto wallet, all his money. And, you know, he's got, you know, his little, like, G-Shock watch on. And then we're talking to him. Later on, he goes on and gets in, like, some basic car. And he's talking about how he's got $50 million in crypto and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay. Then come to find out, because I called it out. I talked to one of my buddies about it later on. I said, why is he driving a 10-year-old car? I said, okay, maybe he's being low-key. Maybe he's trying to be green. It was like, you know, he's driving, like, some Prius. I mean, like, maybe he's gay. You know, whatever. Don't seem to on that one.
Whoa. He's gay because he's driving a 10-year-old car? He did not say that.
No, I said
that.
Prius.
He doesn't make him gay.
Is he driving a Tesla?
Prius? I mean, you know.
They're a little gay.
Maybe he's being a very good consumer and basically driving what he can afford, not trying to impress everybody.
There you go. Well, I only know one person that's not gay that drives a Tesla, and that's one of our great customers. And he also has a McLaren. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, those are cool.
And he charges it with a doggone
solar panels. Oh, yeah. I digress. Well, and he's talking about, and he wanted to get all of us. We're going to wrap more money. We had already done some crypto stuff. We're going to do more with him. He's talking about how he's going to do this with it, and this with it, this with it. Well, come to find out, my intuition is 100% right. He didn't have crap. It was all giant rug pull to try to get investors in to put more money in this crypto that completely and totally collapsed, and a bunch of people pulled money out of it. He was piss broke. Excuse my language on that. And so, again, you got to look at these people that are young and want, oh, you need to invest, you need to put on $50,000 in this. We trust $50,000 to $1 million in a month. You need to listen to us on this. It's all over Instagram. It's all over social media. It's all over in online now. You got to be very cautious of it. And it's exactly the same way a lot of these boys and girls are getting trained to focus on what they want in the future with zero effort. That's the big part. They want to have the juice with no squeeze. They want to have the enjoyment of all these things, and they have no idea what it takes to get to that level. Do you think the guys that go buy these, you know, $400 or $500 million super yachts? I mean, just crazy stuff. I've seen them in person, never been on one. It'd be pretty cool. But do you think they just woke up one day and went, you know what? I figured out how to go make $1 billion today, and I'm going to go buy a super yacht and post on social media. Newsflash, most of the guys and girls that have that kind of money don't even have social media. They don't even run them if they do. They are very low-key, and they have full security detail with them all the time. They're not flashing all this stuff. So be very cautious of this. And one thing Jim Rohn said, and I remember this, he said, be very cautious of what you become in pursuit of what you want.
Say that again.
Be very cautious of what you become in pursuit of what you want. I've seen it now in a lot of stuff down here in Florida. You got these girls now that go basically get these OnlyFans, and they're making $1 million a month sometimes. $1 million, $2 million a month.
That's about 1/1,000,000 of 1%.
They do it.
But
what have they become in pursuit of what they wanted? Mm-hmm. They become a doggone internet whore. Let's be real. For the rest of the world to see for the rest of their life. Was that money worth it in 10, 20, 30 years?
How about when their kids see it?
When little Johnny gets a photo of his mom at high school. Mm-hmm. Hey, I saw him pull up your mom. I'm subscribed to her OnlyFans. Gosh, that's dark. That's reality, what you're working with now and what's happening in the future. So be very careful. Another thing Jim Rohn said, and I'm going to turn it over to you. He said a lot of times stuff tastes great in your mouth and it turns bitter in the belly, meaning what you thought was going to be so awesome, what you thought was going to be so cool is going to make you unbelievably sick and take your peace away later on in the future. Be very cautious of what you pursue. That's my stance on
that. Be careful what you pursue because of what you become. That's good. But I want to read you another paragraph out of this article. This article, the reason I like this article so much is not only by what it says, but how it reads. Somebody did a good job writing this. Biological and physical differences between males and females are mere social constructs, we are informed. This is a Kabbalist Lucifer.
What?
No, listen to me. Because their snake in a tree god is the one that's telling them what to say. This is all satanic, okay? Males and females have distinct temperaments. Nonsense. Well, they do. These can be remade. Men can have babies and breastfeed. Why not? Want to transition to another sex? Do it. Nothing that surgery and hormone infusions and playing dress-up can't solve. Don't let DNA and unambiguous physiological differences in performance interfere. Women can be lean, mean, fighting machines on testosterone. Open up frontline combat roles to females. Let them get knocked out by a male in the Olympics. Oh, that didn't happen. It did. Not quite knocked out, but almost. Not really suited, huh? Just lower the bar and let's all pretend. Feminism has long past opening doors to opportunities, education, and professions. We can all agree that's good. It's turned fiercely militant against nature. It's veered deeper and deeper into derangement. Feminism has veered deeper and deeper into derangement. This is where the butch like lesbians are. This is the final end product of feminism. So I got myself a nose ring. Hair's cut half off. And I'm angry. And I'm going to beat you if you say hello to me, boy. I'm a butch dyke. And you go, excuse my vernacular, what the hell's wrong with her? You know, and you go, what is wrong with you? I mean, you're a weirdo. You're awful. You don't seem to understand. I'll step you out back, boy, and I'll put a beating on you. And you're like, I don't think so. You weigh 110 pounds. Oh, you don't seem to understand. I can do what I want to do, and I'll beat you like a dog out back. And you go, dude, why don't you just go away, whatever the heck you're supposed to be right now? And this is what they turn into. That's the ultimate pinnacle of feminism. I got myself covered in a satanic tattoo. I got the demon on my back. Do you see the demon, boy? I want you to understand it's a demon. And you go, what is wrong with you? Why would you put something like that on your body? Well, because I think it makes me look powerful. Well, no, it makes you look satanic and basically deranged.
You know, you're funny you said that. I've never told this story before. It's a weird story. It's like a couple of years back. I was with a bunch of friends at the beach. We're at Daytona for the truck thing. This is years back now. And this girl, she was hanging out. I did not know her. She was hanging out with another group that we were with. And she had a giant Baphomet pentagram on her chest and stomach. She's wearing a little bikini.
Yeah.
I asked her, I said, is that is that, I walked up to her. I said, is that Baphomet on your chest? And she goes, yeah. Is this that a pentagram behind it? I'm just looking at it. And she's like, yeah. And I said, you Satanist? Flat out, I asked her that. I forgot about the story. And she goes, no, I just liked the way it looked. I thought it looked cool. I said, you thought it looked cool to put Baphomet on your body and pentagram? She goes, yeah, it's pretty cool. A lot of people do it now. And I went, all right, have a nice day. I just turned around and walked off. There's no point in having a further conversation with that. But I thought to myself, if she was actually being honest, how deranged and how dark has society become now where you think that's actually a normalized, cool thing to do?
I had a friend of mine, I had a girl. Question. He's going to go out with her. And she said to him, she said, hey, before you go out with me, you got to understand my back is tattooed. He goes, well, you have a tattoo on your back. And she goes, no, nah, my back's tattooed.
Like full back piece.
Full back piece. And she goes, you got to look at it before we go out. So she had a halter top on her. She went into the mirror and made sure she stayed covered up. And she showed him in the mirror with her cell phone. It was a giant demon with wings, shoulder tip to shoulder tip, eating a human being with blood dripping all over out of it. in the backside. And then they had all these other demonic pictures in the back of people being sacrificed. And my friend looked at her because this is a hard pass for me.
Yeah, that's a hard no.
This is a hard no. You have a great life. Bye. I mean, what were you thinking? It gets to that level. Next thing you know, they're trying to go to the tattoo parlor shop and have the thing lasered off. They're like, what did I do?
Yeah.
Don't be careful. Okay, I'm going to say this now.
We switch it. I got an article I'm going to bring up.
Let me finish this. Feminism has long past opening doors to opportunities, education, and professions. We can all agree that's good. It turned fiercely militant against nature. It veered deeper and deeper into derangement. Now, next sentence. Manhood is routinely battered. The man being a man is toxically masculine. Yet women might be pummeled more. Females are primary nurturers and civilizers. Today's feminism is about deprecating marriage and childbearing, brazenly cheerleading abortion now up to birth. It's been about ridiculously stay-at-home moms. I'm not sorry. I messed that up. It's about ridiculing stay-at-home moms. Virulent feminism is much part of the me generation ethos, sleeping around, foregoing marriage, and kids in favor of career achievement, all wins. Self-sacrifice and giving, dirty words. Those only lead to be subservient. Of course, none of the women who cheer Charlie Kirk's assassination consider themselves friends. They don't because of their acculturation. Herein lies an irony. Progressives inhabit an insular world. For all the excesses, emphasis on individuality, independence, and judgment is penalized. Groupthink is imposed. Progressives surround themselves with mere images of themselves. They receive affirmation for expressions of right-wing. I'm going to let you read this. This is a great article. I'm going to post this again. This is from J. Robert Smith. One of the best articles I've ever read. Guys, he's absolutely right, and that's what the world has become. And he says the name of the article is It's Deeper Than Mental Illness. It's a societal mental illness. It's from the Frankfurt School from 1933. It's from Goethe University when these boys and girls ran away from Germany when Hitler took power and left and went to Switzerland, got kicked out of Switzerland, went to Columbia University and indoctrinated the Ivy League schools into this mind think. And then that's permeated all the other universities and all the other major universities. And Charlie Kirk was coming in and going, no, it doesn't have to be this way. Exactly. You don't have to think this way. You don't have to act this way. You don't have to live this way. And suddenly a big question mark jumped up. Well, what are we doing? What are we really
doing?
Exactly
right. And why? What am I doing?
What am I doing? What's it doing to me? And is that okay?
Yeah.
And he started asking those types of questions at these giant rallies that he was having. And suddenly the entities, these individuals, these things that are demon possessed from another dimension, which I've covered in detail, are saying, boy's got to go.
Yeah.
He's got to go.
Got to go.
And that's what they did. They used their little AI algorithm, which ties directly into Lucifer with their lavender algorithm. And they said, yeah, in 20 years from now, he's going to be president of the United States.
Yeah, if this trend keeps going.
He's going to have a following that's going to overshadow everything we're doing. We got to shut the boy up. And they did. Austin, what's your next story?
This is an enormously dark precedent now that California just passed on Assembly Bill 1127. I just got the email on it a minute ago. It got passed late Wednesday, and it's going into effect July 1st, 2026. This is the first time of its kind since the bump fire ban ever happened federally. This is on a state level in California. California has now passed Assembly Bill 1127, which will ban all Glock firearms in the state of California.
They can't do that.
Now, listen to this. No, they passed the bill. They passed it.
It's passed.
They said, this is insane. It's listed as a machine gun convertible pistol.
Well, it is that.
but it's a pistol. It's a semi-automatic pistol directly from Glock. They're saying that it's defined as a semi-automatic pistol with a cruciform trigger bar, because Glocks have a trigger bar that comes down. It's like this. And they said that people, allegedly, can readily convert them with household tools into a machine gun by installment or attachment of a pistol converter and replacement for the slide's black plate with any additional engineering, machining, or modification of the pistol's trigger mechanism. So now they're saying, because Glock is a safe action pistol, it can be converted into a machine gun, which, by the way, you can turn any firearm into a machine gun if you want to break the law, which I don't recommend you do. But they're saying, because Glock has a trigger bar in it that you can convert into a machine gun if you want to break the law, they're banning all Glock sales in the state of California by July 1st, 2026. If you currently have one, you can keep it. However, any future sales of them is now going to be a felony to purchase in California. This is a very dark assembly bill, and considering the fact what they're doing now is, this goes right back to what I talked about with essentially predictive modeling and pre-crime. Now they're saying you can't buy a certain firearm because somebody somewhere made it into a machine gun. So we're banning any law-abiding citizen from owning or buying that pistol now because of this. This, hopefully, this assembly bill gets completely and totally dropped down. It already passed. You can look it up. I'll post it online. It's Assembly Bill 1127. But this,
that's going to go to court. There's
going to have to, because this is exactly what ATF did with the bump fire stocks. They came in and said, well, it doesn't affect the trigger mechanism, but we're going to, you know, basically redefine the definition of machine gun and make slide fires a machine gun, which they weren't, and it's got overturned now by the federal Supreme Court. However, this is a different level because this is on the state level, and California has always been the spearhead of trying to restrict people to exercise their Second Amendment rights. I don't understand why the Marxist-Communist ideology constantly thinks they're going to get away with this in a country that a Second Amendment is giving you the ability to have firearms at any and all points, but yet the state constantly wants to violate the Constitution over and over and over and over again. This is what happens in a communist state. This is California. I know some great customers out there, especially Northern California, but overall, California as a whole is a complete failure of a state. It's not a republic. This is California Republic, Republic California. That's about the most inaccurate statement I've ever heard. But I saw this. I wanted to cover it and let you guys know. So I always try to give you guys some firearm updates when it comes to relevant stuff. Especially,
well, you know,
this nutty.
Well, the crazy stuff is that, you know, you get these liberals, and I mean this very sincerely. I mean, guns don't kill people.
No.
People kill people. You can kill somebody with an axe. You can kill somebody with a screwdriver. I mean, baseball bat. Then you want to kill somebody, you can kill somebody. And the sad part about this is that they make a gun like this illegal because somebody may convert it, and it's all speculative.
That's right. It's all speculative. It's all pre-crime. This is where it's going with AI. This is the problem I've told you guys now with this basis that they're doing with predictive pre-crime modeling that Palantir's doing, that Donald Trump gave them billions of dollars in contracts with BBB. They're doing pre-crime recognition now. They're doing pattern recognition to determine if somebody might commit a crime in the future. We're going to stop you from doing it, possibly because we deem it so. Meaning you're already being convicted for a crime you didn't commit because we said you're going to do it in the future. That's a dark road to go down. A Minority Report, that film, as much as it was a sci-fi when it came out with Tom Cruise, it's becoming very strange because it's actually becoming a reality, which nobody thought possible when that film came out.
Well, the problem that you have with all of this stuff is that pretty soon they're going to be telling everybody, if you even have a thought crime, that you're thinking about something. This is George Orwell, not
correct. Exactly.
You're going to go to jail.
Right.
You know, in other words, Jimmy Kimmel can't say what he said. Now, what he said was very distasteful. I don't like what he said. It was awful. But, man, he's been indefinitely suspended now. I mean, you know, and I'm not saying that he was talented, but I'm saying that he talked about Jeffrey Epstein, which is a big no-no.
That's what it was. It had nothing to do with Trump.
But, you know, the reality is that, you know, that was a warning shot across the bow of Nate the late night. You don't go here with this political stuff with Jeffrey Epstein.
Exactly right. Okay?
By the way, Major Cruise Line has canceled popular Caribbean destination among urgent kidnap warnings. Haiti. What the heck?
What the heck are we even going there for?
Man,
we got contractors already going out there.
So they're saying we're not going to go to Hades anymore. Well, you know, Hades is kind of like hell. They got zombies running around.
The biggest thing, horrible. Yeah, cannibals and everything. The biggest thing that because I know one of the guys is working on one of the contracts down there said the biggest thing is the red tape trying to get all the gun systems back in because they got approved for Overwatch with the M134 miniguns on all the helicopters for Overwatch down there.
They got it approved.
But they're not getting approval to get the guns back into the country.
Unbelievable.
It's real weird. So it's like they're trying to foam in a war down there. They're trying to give the contractors this giant bid to go down there and start, basically wipe out all these criminals, which good riddance, cannibals. I mean, let's be real. But it's like they're not getting the final approval to get all the weapons back in. And that's what Jeff said. He's like, dude, we're not going down with all these armaments.
What does a cruise ship think? He won't even go.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Why would he? Why is that even a port of call?
I know. By the way, man in his 30s dies after riding a roller coaster at the Universal theme park.
In Orlando?
They found him dead on the ride when they basically...
Probably a heart attack.
Yeah, but he's in his 30s. Ah, what does that go back to? That goes back to the COVID shot, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. The spike proteins and all the rest. And so you got to be thinking about this. And I'll say one thing about it. Sometimes you get into those doggone roller coasters. They're pretty wild, man.
One over there, Busch Gardens, especially when you're in the front row. I forgot what it is. It's the crack. It's not the Kraken. I haven't been over there in years. But that's that one, the front row. It's at the very top, and it hangs you straight over the ledge. I mean, you're full 90 facing the ground. You know, 150 feet.
Better hope that strap doesn't.
Oh man, you're sitting, there, you're all your weight's on that harness, mm-hmm. and then the whole thing just ride goes. It's great. I love roller coasters, but if you're gonna ride roller coasters, my recommendation: ride them at very, very high profile theme parks. I don't ride roller coasters at little, you know, when they have festivals,
like the Orange Festival.
Yeah, I don't do that. I've seen too many. I've personally watched stuff break. The last time I was at the Strawberry Festival, we were going there just to take the kids to run around and do a little fun stuff. They had this big ride where everybody's strapped in. It's up in the air, spinning around. They're 30, 40 feet up in there. You guys have seen stuff like that. And I go around the fence, right, because we were eating some food. I go around the fence, and I look underneath it, and they've got 4x4s, big 4x4s stacked on top of each other to level out the whole ride with these tie-down anchors. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, nothing about this even looks remotely safe at all. I mean,
4x4s?
4x4s with the leveling kits, the whole ride sitting on them so they can level out the ride. And I'm talking stacked 3-4 deep high, and I'm like, I don't even know what to say right now. Hope OSHA doesn't show up. There's no way this is approved. After that, I was like, you won't even catch me step foot on anything there.
One final article, and we're out of time.
Are we?
We're done.
We cooked the clock, didn't we?
We
it's Friday.
Yeah. Hope you enjoyed my rant. That was a pretty good rant. I guess I was using my multi-voice technology. Is this the last bubble? The consensus holds that central banks, the Federal Reserve in the U.S., will gradually inflate away the world's rising debt burden. That's what they did in the Weimar Republic. Well, not everybody, because only 10% of the enough assets to feel the effect of wealth effect, 10%. Should the bubble pop, no worries. Central banks will rush in to rescue as they've done for 25 years. That's a nice story, and proponents have had past 25 years of history to back it up. But beneath the surface appeal of this story, a Hollywood ending every time as the Fed will inflate another bubble, one after another, in an endless loop, there are stirrings in the deep that suggest the everything bubble is the last bubble of its kind, and attempts to inflate another bubble when this would possibly collapse the entire rickety contraption.
Oh, wow.
I hope you're in gold and silver, guys. In other words, everything is forever until there is no more. Speculative bubbles don't require central banks increasing money supply and manipulating interest rates. Confidence is the foundation of speculative frenzies. Today, confidence that the Fed will rush to rescue everything should the bubble pop is high. Quasi-religious fervor, confidence, staggering gains, and speculative frenzies all meld into one overflowing river sweeping all of it before it. Just a break from all the fun and games, let's consider an M2 money supply chart. There we go. It's interesting to note that the M2 ratio in GDP, the money supply and economic expansion, would rise together, qualifies as a common sense, but what makes it interesting is the slippage of the ratio. And it's talking about the M2, M1 money supply and how it's starting to drop, and how the M1 is really dropping right now, money in circulation, and the velocity is really, really changing. You guys can read this article if you'd like, but the reality is that M1 and the velocity of money, how it's turned over, is really, really important to a healthy economy. And if you don't have the right ratios in those slots, you can end up in a real big mess like the Weimar Republic did very, very, very quickly, when basically it cost $40 billion to buy a loaf of bread in the Weimar Republic. $40 billion. My mom was there. She told me it was a wheelbarrow load of money to get bread. I told you the other day, they were taking the money and burning it because it was cheaper to burn the money in the furnace than it was to buy firewood.
Exactly.
That's
right.
What happens with a fiat currency.
No, you're exactly right. And that's why they've got to go digital with it.
They have to
digital, because at that point, there's no living with them anymore. They just do whatever they want. Just 0000000 as many students as you want. So, guys, appreciate the support. Hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. You know where to get a hold of us. Team Health Masters, please start switching over that site. The old site is phasing out very, very quickly. The new site has so many perks. There's no reason not to get on the new site with Team Health Masters. We can get everything copacetic with both URLs, Health Masters and Team Health Masters, going to the same site. Once we do that, you guys are going to have a great time. Appreciate you. Joint Rebuilding Formula on sale. Check it out for over 10% off right now. And also check out the other protocol kits that we have on the website, including the Ultimate Focus Stack and Ultimate Stress Control Kit. This is a really popular one. Be sure to read about that. I'm just going to email it over the weekend. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you again on this show Monday, as always.
And remember, go to church. Always go to church and always put Jesus first in your life. For He is the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. He created the universe, and He loves you very, very much, and so do we. Thank you for your support. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you, guys.